In your bulletin today is quite an extensive bio of our guest for this morning, Colonel David Smith. And I just wanted to take a moment once again to welcome you, Colonel Smith, to our service today. Dave and I have known each other for a long time. We are both members of the Susquehanna Conference of our United Methodist Church. And early in his ministry, before Dave entered active duty, I think you actually served close to Dave Reed up in the Williamsport District. And Dave Reed might have some other stories to tell a little later in the service today. But all of our encounters across the years have just been such a blessing to me, Dave. And mostly we saw each other from year to year at annual conference when you were there. And many times as a fellow pastor and as a superintendent, we held you in prayer in all the places where God called you to be. And as I introduce you, I just want to say thank you for your great service to all of us, to our country, to our church. And let's welcome Chaplain David Smith this morning. Thank you.
For those of you who are veterans out there, first of all, thank you for your service. And but I need to let you know, for those of you who are not veterans, that I'm a chaplain, and chaplains don't go by rank. We go by chaplain. And it's one reason is because for an enlisted soldier to come and speak to a colonel, it may be very intimidating. But when they see the cross, the tablet, or the crescent, they know that they're speaking to a chaplain first and foremost. And so it was an honor and a privilege to have been called by God from this conference to serve in the Army. And I did it thinking it was only going to be for 3 years. And God had a different plan. It ended up being 30. So it's amazing how God does in God's time. Let's pray. Almighty God, may your Holy Spirit fill this space. May your Holy Spirit move in us and through us, so that as we hear this ancient sacred story, we may be transformed, so that as we leave this place, we may take your Spirit with us to transform others. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to thank Denny for his invitation and his hospitality. I have never been in this church. My home church is Grace and Lemoyne, which is just down the road, not far. In fact, your neighboring church here is built as a, I got to be careful, a miniature Grace church. Architecture is very similar inside and outside. And I didn't know that until Denny invited me when he was a district superintendent to do a workshop, a soul care workshop at the church. And as I walked in the sanctuary, I thought, well, this is like my home church. I always feel welcomed when I come back to the Susquehanna Conference. It's great to be home. And so thank you for Denny inviting me, and thank you for inviting me here. Our text this morning comes from Joshua's book. If you, I'm going to be reading from the Open Bible, and if you're following along, I'm sure the words will not be similar, and so if you might want to listen, that'd be fine too. Hear these words. Then Joshua summoned all the people of Israel to Shechem, along with the elders, leaders, judges, and officers. So they came and presented themselves to God. Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshipped other gods. But I took your ancestor Abram from the land beyond the Euphrates, and led him into the land of Canaan. I gave him many descendants through his son Isaac. So honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly, but put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, we would never forsake the Lord and worship other gods. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. And as we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God. Then Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is holy and a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn against you and destroy you, even though he has been so good to you. But again the people answered Joshua, saying, no, we are determined to serve the Lord. You are accountable for this decision, Joshua said. You have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, they replied, we are accountable. All right then, Joshua said, destroy the idols among you and turn your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God. We will obey him alone. May God add his blessing to the reading of our word, of his word this day. I had the distinct pleasure of serving numerous times in a deployed status. And most of the places where I deployed, it was required to drink a lot of water. It either was arid or tropical. Now, I prefer not drinking water. I like drinking something that has flavor, something you can taste. Well, I was visiting my brigade chaplain while we were in Afghanistan, and we're sitting at the lunch table, and I said to him, you know, I just hate this bottled water. It has no flavor. And he said, sir. Now, he was from Lower Alabama. Sir, I'll give you this packet and just put it in your canteen and shake it up, and it will taste real good. And so I took it, and I put it in my canteen, and I shook it up, and it did taste good. And I did not know what it was until I said, you know, this doesn't taste like Kool-Aid. It's not sweet. It has a really good flavor. What is it? Sir, it's green tea. Now, I never had green tea in my life. And I did not know the effect that green tea may have on one if they've never drank it before. Needless to say, I was not a happy chaplain that day. For a half hour after I drank the green tea, I needed to be close to a bathroom. Now, I'm going to say bathroom in quotations because while in Afghanistan, our bathrooms were not porcelain. And so my visit to his subordinate units did not happen that day. In fact, I was stuck there for several days. So you're sitting there probably thinking, why is he sharing this story of all combat stories? Because the other stories are too hard to share. Often, for those who have served in combat, we mask the pain by using humor. For our veterans, at times our memories can bring us pain. Even to the point of a soul loss. At times, our memories can trigger us to do irrational things, like when we're walking down the sidewalk and a car backfires, and all of a sudden we're laying prostrate on the sidewalk because it resembles the sound of a bomb going off. Maybe for you, it may be the smell of Christmas cookies baking during the holidays because it takes you back to your childhood and the love of a parent that you still grieve their loss. I am sure that there are other triggers that can take us back to painful memories. For you see, memories may take us to difficult times and places. Memories can have power over us in our remembering. However, our memories can also bring us contentment and pleasure and fulfillment. We remember holding our newborn son or daughter for the first time with joy. Or during the fall, and we see the myriad of colors of the crimson and the orange and the amber. Or the pride we felt when our son or daughter graduated from college and they were finally independent. Our memories can provide us power in remembering. Do you notice a difference? Which is it for you? Do your memories have power over you, or do they empower you? No, I fall in both categories. I have memories that are painful, and I have memories that are wonderful. I have memories that have power over me, and I also have memories that empower me. Well, our Hebrew text this morning from Joshua is about remembering. Joshua is about to die as an old man, and he calls all the people of Israel together to remember. But Joshua does something else in this text, and I hope you just listen to that, a subtle inflection in the phrase. The importance was not just in remembering, but the importance was also demanding them to make a choice. The people of Israel had to make a decision. Today, people of First Church, we too are called to remember, but also to make a decision, a choice. So what are we called to remember? This week, we remembered our veterans and their families, and we're thankful for their selfless service and their courage. And our veterans remember as well. They remember the sacrifice, the pain, and the loss. They remember the closeness and the bond of a battle buddy. They remember the hopes and the fears before they went into combat and after coming home. They remember the death and the evil that lurked and threatened them every day. And for some, they remember the victory that they experienced, and for others, the victory that never was experienced. But our veterans' families remember as well. The shedding of tears when saying goodbye. Living each day with the unknown whether or not their loved one was safe. For some, they remember the excitement of finally having their loved one home and embracing them, only to discover that they do not know the person who's sleeping next to them in bed because they have changed. Yes, our veterans and families and their families remember as well. This morning, we are to remember too. The deeper things of God and of this world. Of the things of this world that divide families and groups and peoples and nations one from the other. And we remember a divisive election campaign that thank God is finally over. But at times our country can come together, and we remember those times when we become one. And we remember not only the need for peace, but also for justice, that which true peace is built upon, the justice and the love that shows mercy to those who seek it and even to those who do not. So we do remember. But what is the importance of our remembering when our memory may bring us pain or anger or loss? or even despair. For each person, the significance is different because we have a choice. Are we going to allow the pain and the anger and the loss and the despair have power over us? Or are we going to allow the good news of the gospel to flood our souls and comfort us? But Joshua reminds us, what is the good in our remembering if we do nothing with our memories? Even if we have experienced trauma or difficult times, our memories can move us to act, to grow, to heal, and to live. But however, sometimes our memories can overcome us with fear, overpower us with inaction, numb us in the way we linger in our pain, or even die in our faith. So which will it be for you? Is there something that can help us in our decision? I had the distinct pleasure of serving in the airborne community for 9 years, and my last time serving in a airborne unit was at Southern European Task Force in Vicenza, Italy. Now, that's really suffering for Jesus. Living in Vicenza, Italy, when the Alps are right there, it was beautiful. Well, we had an airborne operation with the Romanian Airborne Brigade. And I will never forget that day when I was doing my ministry of presence. Now, chaplains, one of the things that we do is we try to be out where our soldiers are, especially during times of chaos or uncertainty. And an airborne operation is one of those because it is very uncertain. It's a way that we provide the presence of God and some peace. We just finished our sustained airborne training and we donned our parachutes and we're laying in the harness shed waiting for the aircraft to arrive. And in the meantime, one thing that chaplains do is we offer a safety prayer. And another thing we do is we pass out St. Michael's medallions. Now they're just little medallions like this, and on the back it says, "Protect us." And St. Michael is our patron saint. So I'm placing this medallion in each jumper's hand, and I'm doing that, I'm saying a statement prayer. May St. Michael protect you on this jump today. And I get to the last person who happens to be a friend of mine, my neighbor. He's also the G3, which means he's the senior operations officer and the commander colonel, who also has been a paratrooper for 20 years. And he's a United Methodist. As I place the St. Michael medallion in his hand, he looks up at me and says, "Dave, you don't believe that crap, do you?" And I look at him with a puzzle on my face. What are you talking about? You don't believe that crap, do you? That St. Michael's going to protect you. And I said, "Do you know who St. Michael is?" He said, "Yay, some dead guy." I said, "No, he's not. He's an archangel." Oh, and the light went on. And all of a sudden, here is a person for years had been jumping out of an airplane and hearing the words, "May St. Michael protect you," didn't even know who St. Michael was. That little medallion is a reminder to paratroopers, and I've seen them in the aircraft rubbing it, praying before the green light goes on and they go out the door for safety. Safety of an exit, safety of the jump, safety in landing. It's through that little medallion that we remember God's love and protection. What is it for you? What is it that can move you to act, to grow, to heal, and to live? There's good news from this text this morning. Joshua reminded the people of Israel about the story. The story as he recalls God's faithfulness. Joshua recalled how God had treated the people of Israel, how God had chosen Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and promised them a land. How Joshua recalled God remembering Joseph in Egypt and raising up Moses to deliver the people. He remembered how God had led his people safely from the clutches of Pharaoh through the wilderness of sin. And then he remembered how God brought the 12 tribes safely into the promised land. Joshua remembered the story. During my darkest days in Iraq, 2003-04, I too had to recall God's faithfulness, not only for me, but for my family waiting for me back home. I had 4 near-death experiences within a month and a half. And each one, God had to remind me of his ultimate protection and call for my life. I had to remember God's faithfulness through 2 different methods. One was through the Psalms. And if you come to Sunday school today, I'm going to read one of the Psalms. Actually, I'm going to read 2. It's amazing. If you read David's Psalms, how David lamented, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Ask God, why? Where are you, God? David, too, was a warrior who saw the death and destruction of war. I'm sure he had soul wounds in his life. And yet, read Psalm 8. 2 Psalms after Psalm 6, and David is reaching out to the heavens saying, how majestic is your name. The second one was through communion. There was something special when every time I visited a forward operating base and I had a worship service, and it did not matter what day of the week, because any day the chaplain's there, it's Sunday, and we always celebrated the Eucharist. And when I took that host and a soldier come up with palms open to receive it, and I placed it in the palm and I looked them in the eyes and I said, the body of Christ broken for you. There is something so powerful about that. Understanding that even in the desolation of hell, Christ is there. And so communion was another way in which God reminded me of God's sovereignty and God's protection and God's grace. So Joshua affirms to us this morning that remembering is good, but remembering demands a decision. So we either choose to follow and be true to God who gave us and our life and sustains our lives, or we choose to follow in the paths of the culture around us and worship other gods, such as money or prestige or power or possessions. Why a decision? Because a decision demands action. And without a decision, remembering has little power or purpose. On this Sunday, as we are called to remember, we remember so much of those who have gone before us to lay the path for us to have our freedoms. But knowing that when they do raise their right hand to take the oath of office, they do so knowing its consequences that they may have to pay. One of my paratroopers in the 82nd Airborne Division had a choice as well. In 2003 in Iraq, he was in a Humvee that got that went over an improvised explosive device, killed a person in his vehicle, and threw him out of the vehicle, and he lost his leg below the knee. We got back from Iraq, and it may have been, and this happened in April 2003, and so this was about July or August of 2004, and I went to my boss, and I said, sir, is it okay if we reinitiate the St. Michael's Jump program? And he said, yeah, it's a great idea, chaplain. And the St. Michael's Jump was always a hit with our soldiers because it was a fun jump. Now, I know that seems like an oxymoron. Anytime you jump out of an airplane with a parachute on, how can that be fun? But it is during the daylight hours and no combat equipment. So you're not lugging, like a penguin, 70 pounds of equipment out the door with you. And so that's why it's a fun jump. I had 450 paratroopers on this jump. We did our sustained airborne training. I released everybody to go home, and I'm having a conversation with my primary jump master, and we noticed that no one left. Didn't understand why. So, made my way down to where the paratroopers were standing around the parachute landing platform, and there was one jumper on the parachute landing platform. I'm thinking, this is weird. And they were watching them. So I make my way through and I get to the parachute landing platform and I look to see if the person's in the right uniform. Ballistic helmet, jacket, trousers, boot, and sneaker. Sneaker? And then I look closer and I saw the titanium rod coming out of this paratrooper sneaker. He got done and I walked up to him. I said, "Who are you and what are you doing?" He said, "Sir, I'm Special Perez. I have fought my medical board to stay on active duty, but that's not enough. I don't only want to stay on active duty, but I want to stay on airborne status. And this is my first jump with my artificial leg." I looked at him. I said, "You're my hero. Tomorrow, you are exiting the aircraft first, and I'm following you out the door." Now, Special Perez was not a small man. And trust me, gravity works pretty well when you're bigger and heavier than it does for a lighter guy like me. And he exited the aircraft. I went out after him, and I heard him hit with a loud groan. I thought I killed him. So I snapped my canopy release, and I ran up to him as fast as I could. And as I got there, I said, "Special Perez, are you okay?" He said, "No, sir, I think I broke my leg." And I said, "Which one?" He said, "My artificial one." I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And he did. He broke it. And he was back 3 months later with a new artificial leg, and he successfully completed an airborne jump. Special Perez had to make a choice. A choice that affected him, knowing that it was going to be hard, sacrifice, selfless service in order for him to overcome the medical board procedure and then get himself in physical condition to be able to stay as a paratrooper, being able to run a mile in 8 minutes, being able to ruck a 50-pound ruck for 12 miles, and being able to jump out of an airplane. But the motto of the airborne community is "all the way." Specialist Perez wanted to go all the way. So today, First Church, we remember and we're called to choose. We are called to choose much the same way as Joshua and the people of Israel. We are called to choose either life or death, called to choose the things of God or the things not of God, called to choose ourselves and the things of this world. If we choose the God of life and the things of God, then we choose others before self. We choose others before our own comfort. We choose to help others before ourselves. We choose the truth rather than the peace of compromise. We choose justice, knowing that it may cost us our life. Interesting, my friends. This is what a soldier, sailor, airman, marine, and Coast Guard does every day. Our warriors do it knowing that the sacrifice of many will not be in vain, and the memory of those who have died while serving is honored. So as Jesus gave himself fully on the cross for us, we too are called to give of ourselves completely for the sake of his kingdom and for what is right. And so today, what will be your choice? Thanks be to God.